Part 4, Overcoming Obstacles. Chapter 12, Bringing About Change.
Our positive states of mind can act as antidotes to our negative tendencies and illusory states of mind.
It is important to remember that the Dalai Lama's emphasis on recognizing the inevitability of suffering and the uses of suffering emerged from a fundamentally optimistic context, the Buddhist belief in the possibility of genuine transformation and change.
Earlier, we mentioned that in seeking happiness, we begin by learning about how negative emotions and behaviors are harmful to us and how positive states of mind are helpful. But in discussing an approach to bringing about positive changes within oneself, learning is only the first step. There are other factors as well. Conviction, determination, action, and effort. Next, one transforms determination into action. The strong determination to change enables us to make a sustained effort to implement the actual changes. The final factor of effort is critical. Now, no matter what behavior you are seeking to change, no matter what particular goal or action you are directing your efforts towards, you need to start by developing a strong willingness or wish to do it. You need to generate great enthusiasm. And here, a sense of urgency is a key factor. For example, knowledge about the serious effects of AIDS has definitely created a sense of urgency that has put a check on a lot of people's sexual behavior. I think that often, once we obtain the proper information, that sense of seriousness and commitment will come. So, this sense of urgency can be a vital factor in affecting change. It can give us tremendous energy. For instance, in a political movement, if there is a sense of desperation, there can be a tremendous sense of urgency, so much so that people may even forget they are hungry and there is no feeling of tiredness or exhaustion in pursuit of their objectives.
I asked the Dalai Lama if there was a particular Buddhist approach to help develop that sense of urgency.
For a Buddhist practitioner to generate a sense of confidence and enthusiasm, we find in the Buddhist texts a discussion of the preciousness of human existence. We talk about how much potential lies within our body, how meaningful it can be, the good purposes it can be used for, the benefits and advantages of having a human form. Then, in order to generate a sense of urgency, to engage in spiritual practices, the practitioner is reminded of one's impermanence, of death. The awareness of impermanence is encouraged so that when it is coupled with your appreciation of the enormous potential of your human existence, it will give you a sense of urgency that I must use every precious moment.
Given the Dalai Lama's view that one must generate a high degree of enthusiasm to affect positive changes in one's life, I asked him about his approach to overcoming apathy. He suggested first ruling out a physical or biological cause that may contribute to a feeling of low energy or laziness. Then he continued.
To overcome apathy and generate enthusiasm, to overcome one's negative behaviors and states of mind, once again, I think the most effective method and perhaps the only solution is to be constantly aware of the destructive effects of the negative behavior. One may need to repeatedly remind oneself of those destructive effects. Now, most people want to make positive changes in their lives, but sometimes we simply become habituated or accustomed to doing things in certain ways. And then we become sort of spoiled, doing only the things that we like to do, that we are used to doing. But we can also use habituation to our advantage. Through constant familiarity, we can definitely establish new behavior patterns. So by making a steady effort, I think we can overcome any form of negative conditioning and make positive changes in our lives. But you still need to realize that genuine change doesn't happen overnight. Deep down, mental development takes time and a consistent effort.
Because of the slow and gradual nature of change and transformation, I wondered what prevented the Dalai Lama from becoming discouraged or losing hope.
As far as my own spiritual practice goes, if I encounter some obstacles or problems, I find it helpful to stand back and take the long-term view rather than the short-term view. In this regard, I find that thinking about one particular verse gives me courage and helps me sustain my determination. As long as space endures, as long as sentient beings remain, may I too live to dispel the miseries of the world. However, as far as the struggle for the freedom of Tibet is concerned, if I utilize that kind of belief, being prepared to wait as long as space endures for eons and eons and so on, I think that would be foolish. Here, one needs to take more immediate or active involvement. But even in the situation in Tibet, I think that viewing the situation from a wider perspective can definitely help. For instance, if I look at the situation inside Tibet from a narrow perspective, focusing only on that, then the situation appears almost hopeless. However, if I look from a wider perspective, a world perspective, then I see the international situation in which whole communist and totalitarian systems are collapsing, where even in China there's a democracy movement and the spirit of Tibetans remains high. So I don't give up.
There's no doubt that in order to accomplish important goals, we need a strong driving mechanism to sustain us. Looking at the factors that motivate us to action, psychologists have identified three principal types of human motives. Primary motives are drives based on biological needs that must be met for survival, such as food, water, and air. Another category of motives involves our innate need for stimulation and information. The final category, called secondary motives, are those based on learned needs, such as the need for success, status, power, achievement. These are acquired drives that can be influenced by social forces and shaped by learning. And it is at this level that modern psychological theories meet the Buddhist concept of developing determination and enthusiasm. In Buddhism, however, these acquired drives are not used only in the pursuit of worldly success, but in pursuit of higher goals, kindness, compassion, and spirituality, and develop as one gains a clearer understanding of the factors that lead to true happiness. Once we have built up a certain degree of drive and determination to make the changes necessary to live a happier life, we must then set about implementing these changes in our customary ways of thinking and acting. While science has recently revealed that one's genetic predisposition plays some role in an individual's characteristic way of responding to the world, most social scientists and psychologists feel that a large measure of the way we behave, think, and feel is determined by learning and conditioning, which comes about as a result of our upbringing and the various social and cultural forces around us. And since it is believed that behaviors are largely established by conditioning and reinforced and amplified by habituation, this opens up the possibility, as the Dalai Lama contends, of extinguishing harmful or negative conditioning and replacing it with helpful, life-enhancing conditioning. In eliminating one's negative emotions and states of mind, however, one question arises. Since these negative emotions seem to be a natural or integral part of our psychological makeup, is it really reasonable or practical to try to eradicate them?
Yes. Some people suggest that anger, hatred, and other negative emotions are a natural part of our mind, and there is no way to really change these mental states. But that is wrong. Now, for example, all of us are born in an ignorant state. In this sense, ignorance is also quite natural. But as we grow through education and learning, we can acquire knowledge and dispel ignorance. And in that same way, through proper training, we can gradually reduce our negative emotions and increase positive states of mind, such as love, compassion, and forgiveness. When speaking of these negative states of mind, I am referring to what are called yang meng in Tibetan, or klesha in Sanskrit. This term literally means that which afflicts from within. It is often translated as delusions. It's easy to recognize the afflictive nature of these delusions simply because they have this tendency to destroy our calmness and presence of mind. But it's much more difficult to find out whether or not we can overcome them. That is a question that directly relates to the whole idea of whether or not it is possible to attain the full realization of our spiritual potential. That is a very serious and difficult situation. Now, in Buddhist thought, we have three principal premises on which we believe that can happen. The first premise is that all deluded states of mind, all afflictive emotions and thoughts, are essentially distorted in that they are rooted in misperceiving the actual reality of the situation. No matter how powerful, deep down these negative emotions have no valid foundation. They are based on ignorance. On the other hand, positive emotions or states of mind, such as love, compassion, insight, have a solid basis. When the mind is experiencing these positive states, there is no distortion. In addition, these positive factors are grounded in reality. They can be verified by our own experience. There is a kind of grounding and rootedness in reason and understanding, and this is not the case with afflictive emotions like anger and hatred. On top of that, all these positive states of mind have the quality that you can enhance them and increase them to a limitless degree if you regularly practice them through training and constant familiarity. The second premise on which we base the claim that our negative emotions can be rooted out and eliminated is based on the fact that our positive states of mind can act as antidotes to our negative tendencies and illusory states of mind. And as you enhance the capacity of these antidotal factors, the greater their force, the more you will be able to reduce the force of the mental and emotional afflictions. Within Buddhist practice, the cultivation of certain specific positive mental qualities, such as patience, tolerance, kindness, and so on, can act as specific antidotes to negative states of mind, such as anger, hatred, and attachment. But since these positive antidotes seek to eliminate only certain specific emotions, in some sense they can be seen as only partial measures. These afflictive emotions, such as attachment and hatred, are ultimately rooted in ignorance, misconception of the true nature of reality. Therefore, in order to fully overcome all of these negative tendencies, one must apply the antidote to ignorance, the wisdom factor. The wisdom factor involves generating insight into the true nature of reality. So we not only have specific antidotes for specific negative emotions, for example, patience and tolerance act as specific antidotes to anger and hatred, but we also have a general antidote, insight, into the true nature of reality that acts as an antidote to all negative states of mind. It is similar to getting rid of a poisonous plant. You can eliminate the harmful effects by cutting off the specific branches or leaves, or you can eliminate the entire plant by uprooting it. The third premise is that the essential nature of mind is pure. It is based on the belief that the underlying basic subtle consciousness is untainted by negative emotions. Its nature is pure, a state which is referred to as the mind of clear light. That basic nature of the mind is also called Buddha nature. So since negative emotions are not an intrinsic part of this Buddha nature, there is a possibility to eliminate them and purify the mind.
The Dalai Lama's method of achieving full potential and becoming happy is radically different from most Western approaches. While we're used to the idea, for example, of using psychotherapeutic techniques such as behavior therapy to attack specific bad habits such as smoking, drinking, or temper flares, we are not accustomed to systematically cultivating positive attributes, love, compassion, generosity, as weapons against all negative states. The Dalai Lama's method for achieving happiness is based on the revolutionary idea that negative mental states are not an intrinsic part of our minds. They are transient obstacles that obstruct the expression of our underlying natural state of joy and happiness. And these obstacles can be neutralized through the antidotes, or the corresponding positive mental states. And when this discipline, derived from Buddhist thought, is viewed in the light of scientific evidence showing that we can change the very structure and function of the brain by establishing new conditioning that comes about by deliberately cultivating new ways of thinking, then the idea that we can achieve happiness through training of the mind seems a very real possibility.